What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
This week's topic for Worry Week is ideologies, and a topic that I often like discussing over a cold one with mates is how we label them. The political spectrum is often used as a model that puts political ideologies on a scale left to right, hence why we hear the term left and right-wing politics. I talked to Massey University Associate Professor Grant Duncan about ideologies and spectrums, firstly asking what do we mean when we label things left and right-wing?
Yeah, well, I guess there's perhaps two main dimensions on which we can look at it rather than just one, and one might be along the lines of the question of the role of the state in the economy or in economic distribution. So there's that economic policy dimension. And the other one is what we might call a social dimension or a moral or ethical dimension, which is to do with our social values, on which we can be, say, you know, obviously more conservative or more liberal. And that relates to, you know, matters like, say, same-sex marriage or the euthanasia debate and that sort of thing. So you can think of it perhaps most simply along two dimensions rather than simply one. The left-right dimension that we mostly think about tends to relate to that economic policy question about the role of free markets or of the state and the extent of distribution, redistribution.
Why do we use political spectrums? Why do we put political ideologies onto a scale?
I think it's not so much that we put them onto a scale. I mean, that's kind of an afterthought, so to speak, because the real world thing is that different people have different values and different interests and different ways of, you know, perceiving right and wrong. And human beings will never agree with one another about core values and so forth. So there'll always be contestation and difference. And so it's that kind of social reality that translates into different political values and different desires in terms of policies and political leadership that then leads us to think about, as an afterthought, well, how can we sort of systematize these and understand them on a spectrum, as you put it?
By using labels such as left-wing, do we also end up merging ideologies together, such as socialism and liberalism being associated?
Yeah, that's right. And they're not the same thing, because liberalism, as the name suggests, is about the liberty of the individual, so it's a rather individualistic ideology, whereas socialism, once again, as the name itself suggests, is social in its orientation. So it starts normally from thinking more of society as an organic whole and thinking about the respect for, you know, what can we do to respect the equality of individuals and to avoid some kind of radical forms or unjust forms of inequality. So socialism and liberalism have a lot in common often about some particular values, but they just start from completely different premises, and therefore they tend to arrive at quite different kinds of solutions in terms of policies.
I believe the Italian Manifesto of 1919 supported issues such as the 8-hour working week, minimum wage, and worker representation in management are the elements of socialism and fascism, and by using a political spectrum, are we also separating links to either side of a scale?
I mean, there is a certain element at which opposite extremes or, you know, policies or ideologies that are seen as being at the opposite ends of a spectrum sometimes have some things in common. And that's not to say that they're the same, however. Fascism and socialism in real historical terms did have some things in common. You know, Hitler's regime was very strong on a welfare state, provided you were of the right race, of course, so it was very exclusive in that sense, but nonetheless had a welfare state policy. And they might touch at some points and have things in common, and so they're not necessarily diametrically opposed. So I think to some extent, you know, we have to be wary of taking these spectrums or dimensions or labels a little bit too seriously we shouldn't be too literal about them. They're just ways of representing different kinds of political values and how people group around them and how that turns into political action.
By associating political parties on a spectrum or even its ideologies, are the public less likely to look into specific policies? Do we often get stuck voting for an idea rather than the plan or implementation?
Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of people tend to vote on fairly superficial impressions or criteria. If they get past the "I'm voting for this person because I like him or her" and look a little bit more deeply, they might look at, as you say, some of their basic ideas. One of the basic problems in a representative democracy like ours is the question as to how much time will the individual voter invest in actually exploring what the practical political or policy proposals, the manifesto of individual parties are, and then carefully weigh up and compare the, you know, the practical implications of putting each of those manifestos into action and thinking, you know, what do I think is best for this country? What do I think is best for me and my family? Not many people invest that amount of time. So I guess as a kind of rough heuristic approach, they maybe, as you say, make a sort of general judgment about what a particular political party stands for in terms of ideas.
In the media, we often use terms such as alt-right to describe a group of protesters. Are we complicating the understanding of an idea by using such labels?
Yeah, very likely we are. I think the term alt-right is a relatively recent one, and it tends to refer particularly to American groups who are, say, white supremacist or that kind of background, but it's perhaps starting, the term alt-right is now starting to be used rather more loosely, and, you know, well, it's in the nature of language, isn't it, now, about anything that's complex, that people start to use these terms and the boundaries of the terminology get a little bit loose. I think, in general, I think we need to be careful about pigeonholing people and labelling people in terms of their political values and views as individuals, let alone as whole groups, because even an individual, you will find, if you really talk carefully and listen carefully to what people have to say, their political ideas will, you know, you'll appreciate actually in the end are quite complex.
Are we labelling ideologies the correct way? Is there a way that we can scale or measure ideologies more efficiently, or should we focus more individually on the ideas?
Well, I think by definition an ideology is not something that's measurable because it's a loose collection of ideas and they've tended to become, to coalesce, so to speak, around particular labels. And liberalism, for example, also has a history. So what liberalism might have meant, say, in the early 19th century is something quite different from what we might mean today because the world has changed and the role of the state has radically changed in the course of history as well. So our understanding now about what fits within the general sort of ambit or whatever of liberalism is a set of political ideas. It's not just a simple, locatable, singular political idea. It's now quite a complex array of different positions and political ideas. And also you have to think of them in their historical and social context. So, I mean, we need labels in order to be able to group ideas together, but they're not measurable and they don't fit tidily into little spectrums or graphs or whatever. People do that kind of exercise because it does help sometimes to visualise things, but as I say, we shouldn't take those representations too literally.
Okay, that's all the questions I have. Is there any further comments you'd like to make?
I think probably the other main comment that I would make is that we need to be really cautious about pigeonholing individuals into ideological boxes or forcing people to identify themselves with one identifiable political ideology, because individuals do have sometimes quite varied and sometimes even contradictory values. And of course, their values do change as they age. And so it's not a sign of hypocrisy, I think, for a person to change in their ideological outlook over the course of their life. That's, I think, a fairly normal thing. So, you know, it's not like the person has sold out or that they're hypocritical. They've just changed in the course of their life, which is a normal human developmental thing to happen. So we just have to, as I say, I think we should just be careful not to pigeonhole people.
Worry Week on The Wire.